There's no question that communication technology in the year 2021 is amazing. It can certainly be used for bad purposes, but Pastor Al Pittman reminds us today that it can also be used for good.
Some church leaders would rather preach against and criticize technological innovations rather than be innovative in reaching the world through technology. It's easier to sit there and curse the darkness than it is to light a candle. God's called us in this day and time to light a candle, to be about his agenda. He told us to be fishers of men, to go out there and catch fish. It's not our job to clean the fish, as someone once said, but it's our job to be fishers of men, to catch the fish. And in doing so, we fulfill God's agenda.
Dwelling place, dwelling place, dwelling place. You are my dwelling place, dwelling place, dwelling place.
A very blessed day to you, and welcome to The Dwelling Place, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Al Pittman. Today, Al continues his verse-by-verse study through the book of Acts. As we know, Saul of Tarsus became the Apostle Paul, one of the greatest men in Christian history. That happened in Acts chapter 9. In our study today in Acts 8, we'll get to know Saul and another early missionary named Philip. Pastor Al will also share some thoughts on the current COVID pandemic and the lessons we can learn from it. Here's Pastor Al with our study in Acts chapter 8.
I think the main message, if there's a theme for this message that I want to share with you, that it is this. Whether it is persecution or pandemic, God is still on the throne. This is really the message of the text as we go through the text today. God is still on the throne. I was reading, a friend of mine emailed me today, and he sent this little joke along. I thought it was pretty funny. I hope it gives you a chuckle or two in regards to the coronavirus. He said, the coronavirus has turned us all into dogs. We roam the house all day long looking for food. We're told no if we get too close to strangers. And we get really excited about car rides. Amen to that. Maybe you can relate to that. I'm not saying you're a dog, amen, but sometimes you feel like one with this coronavirus, being quarantined in your home and all of that. But God is still on the throne. Whether it be persecution or pandemic, God is still on the throne. Let's begin our study by looking at verses 1 to 4, if you read along with me. And beginning at verse 1 of Acts chapter 8, the Bible says, now Saul was consenting to his death. Stephen had just been stoned to death, the first martyr of the church, and Saul, who would become Paul the apostle, was consenting in agreement with Stephen's death. The Bible goes on to say that at that time a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentations over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Saul persecuting the church, and he would later become Paul the Apostle. And we will get into that later on as we go through the book of Acts. But persecution has come to the church. Nonetheless, the church is scattered. Everyone scattering from Jerusalem because of persecution, except for the apostles, they remained in Jerusalem. And remember, Jesus told the disciples, he said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you will be witnesses of me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. And it's interesting here that the believers had become very comfortable in Jerusalem. Things had gotten a little cozy in Jerusalem. I mean, the excitement was there in Jerusalem. The church was growing in Jerusalem. People were being saved. Miracles being performed there in Jerusalem. It was really comfortable for them, but persecution changed all of that. It may come as a surprise to some of you that historically, God has used persecution many times to accomplish his divine agenda. And I believe, and there will be some who would disagree with me, but I do believe that God is using this pandemic as he did the persecution in the days of the early church, to accomplish his divine agenda today. You see, the church is supposed to go out into Judea, Samaria, the other parts of the world. They got comfortable in Jerusalem, and God allowed persecution to come to get his agenda accomplished, sending them out into the world. God is using, I believe, this pandemic even today, using that which Satan meant for evil for his own divine purpose. And he's doing it in two ways. Number one, he's doing it in the life of the believer. He's awakening us as individual believers. What do you mean by that, Pastor? He's awakening us. He's awakening us to what do we really believe? Do we really believe God's word? Do we really trust the Lord in the midst of the storm? I don't know about you, but my faith has been challenged. Do I really believe and trust God in a time such as this? Here's the second reason, the way that God is using the pandemic. I believe he's speaking to the church, getting the church back in line, if you will, with his divine agenda. Remember, his divine agenda was to take the gospel throughout the entire world, but they got comfortable in Jerusalem. And I think for us as believers today, we've become comfortable ourselves. Remember, Jesus said in the parable of the Great Supper in Luke chapter 14, Jesus said this. He said, "Go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled." He was telling a story about the master of the house wanting people to come in and to partake of his table, and that his house may be filled. And there were people who were invited that didn't have time to go to the master's house. And the master said, "Go into the highways and the byways. Go out there and invite people who are not qualified to be here," or whatever, "but invite people to come that my house may be filled." It's really an exhortation about evangelism Jesus was conveying in this story. For us as the church to go out into the highways and the byways. Well, you know, the Greek word for compel, he said, compel them to come in. Jesus said in that parable in Luke 14. The Greek word for compel is agenazo. And it means necessitate, drive to, constrain. To drive to or to constrain, to follow a course of action. Compel them. Be constrained to go to them. Make it necessary, a necessary part of your life, to compel them to come in. It's of necessity. And yet, many believers today, especially in the Western church, I might add, are no longer compelled, but we've grown complacent. We're complacent. More concerned with, if you will, the creature comforts of the church. What do you have for me? What has the church done for me lately? Than they are about the Great Commission, about being compelled to go to the world. COVID-19 has shaken the church, shaken many churches from our complacency back to the fields. The Lord said in John chapter 4, "Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest." Seems like people have forgotten in the church that we are to be reaping, to be in the fields. And then Jesus said, "Lift up your eyes." And I always wonder, why would he say lift up your eyes? Because in my mind, I think sometimes we are too busy as a church looking down at our own shoes and admiring ourselves. Or looking at the shoes of other believers, what kind of shoes they're wearing. Oh, are those lace-ups or slip-ons, you know? And judging one another. Lift up your head, he said. Get your eyes on the field. It's white for harvest. And rather than be about the Lord's business, we've been complacent. And I believe COVID-19 has shaken the church. Put an urgency within us to get back into the field. Why? Because people are dying. But they've already been dying. They've been dying all the time. But you know what? We've been numb to it. I believe the Lord is awakening his church. The Lord said he would make us fishers of men.
Pastor Al has more to share with us from Acts 8, so stay tuned.
As we roll into 2021, it's good for you to review your finances. But what about your spiritual investments? Pastor Al Pittman's book about Revelation puts a bright light on a wise plan.
There's a lot of people doing works in the name of the Lord, but there's to glorify themselves and not God. And our works will be tried by fire to see if they're of gold and precious metals or if they're of wood, hay, and stubble. God knows the real motivation of your heart.
Revelation, Earth's Final Chapter, is a book that will take you through the amazing final words of the Bible. Remember, you can still adjust how your life ends.
And he invites everyone to his wedding feast. The question is, and mankind would have to ask every one of us here today, have we accepted his invitation?
Get your copy of Revelation, Earth's Final Chapter, by Al Pittman, where you buy books, or online at cwccs.org.
Oh, this is what we've been waiting for. This glorious day, return of Jesus Christ to the earth.
Now to wrap up our message from Acts 8, here's Pastor Al.
And the pandemic for many churches, and even our own church, has awakened many churches to the fact that the best fishing can be done on the internet, online. Why? Because people are there. I report to you, and I've sent out a memo to our church, a video about this, but just want to say it again, that you know what, to God be the glory, but in the last several weeks, we've seen more people come to Jesus Christ than we have in the last past year. More decisions for Christ online than we've seen in the last year. God is awakening his church, he's awakening his church. Now some church leaders would rather preach against and criticize technological innovations rather than be innovative in reaching the world through technology. It's easier to sit there and curse the darkness than it is to light a candle. And God's called us in this day and time to light a candle, to be about his agenda. He told us to be fishers of men, to go out there and catch fish. It's not our job to clean the fish, as someone once said, but it's our job to be fishers of men, to catch the fish. And in doing so, we fulfill God's agenda. That's why I say I believe this pandemic is bringing us back to God's agenda. This pandemic is reminding the church to lift up your eyes upon the field. It is white for harvest. To get back to your Father's agenda, what is that? Get into the highways, into the byways. It's not just the internet. It's door to door. It's whatever means. Paul said, by all means, I will win some. I will save some. Let us use every means to bring people to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. The hour is late. It's time to reap the harvest. I believe that's what the Lord is saying to the church today in this pandemic. We move on in our text, beginning at verse 4, actually. I left off at verse 3. But verse 4 says, therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere. Again, accomplishing God's purpose. I'm sure they were wondering, why is God allowing this to happen? He told you to go to Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth, and you're stuck in Jerusalem. And he's sending them out. They're going everywhere, and they're preaching the word. Then the Bible says here in verse 5, it says, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them and the multitudes. With one accord, multitudes of people heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did, for unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many. People were demon-possessed. They were being delivered. Who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Amen. A mighty move of God took place in a most unlikely place, Samaria. Well, why would you say it's an unlikely place? Well, Samaria is probably about 42 miles. It is 42 miles north of Jerusalem, and that's 67.5 kilometers north of Jerusalem. And it was an unlikely place where the Spirit of God would move because the religious Jews despise Samaria. Samaria had a tainted history. In 722 BC, Samaria, which was the capital city of northern Israel, was conquered by the Assyrians. And when the Assyrians conquer a place, they would normally replace the population of that place with another population. They would take out all the educated people and whatever and remove a large portion of the population to another location so they could, you know, there would be no chance of anybody, any uprising or anything like that. And then they would take another group of people from other places and transport them into that place. In other words, they brought other peoples in who worshiped other gods and all to Samaria. And the Jews that were living there were mixed with those peoples and their cultures, and therefore the religious Jews in Jesus' day wouldn't even go through Samaria because they thought it was a defiled place. And yet we see God moving. Where? In Samaria. God moved mightily there. A great lesson for us, excuse me, when it comes to the character of our God. And that lesson is that God is sovereign to move in unexpected places and through unlikely people. Think about some of the people that God called to ministry. Some of the places that God moved mightily. God is not limited by us. He is sovereign. And he moved in Samaria. Multitudes were coming to Christ. I was watching television the other day, and the MyPillow guy, Mike Lindell, was in the Rose Garden at a press conference at the White House. MyPillow guy. Now, he wasn't holding his pillow, amen. One of his comforters, but he had the comforter with him. Mike Lindell got up there and he kind of gave his little spiel. You know, President Trump allowed him to kind of, you know, share with the nation that his company was doing all they could, making masks or whatever, you know, to help with the COVID-19 pandemic. And then he turned to the president and said, I've got some unscripted words, if you mind, would you mind if I share them? And the president said, basically, say on. And he began to call the nation in the Rose Garden at the White House back to God. Did you know that Mike Lindell was a drug addict, a crackhead, who had done prison time? Who'd have thunk it, amen? But look at God. And then I'm watching I didn't watch it the night it happened, but the heavyweight boxing championship between Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury. I was pulling for Wilder, amen. He's a homeboy. I was pulling for Wilder to win. He'd been knocking everybody out. I thought, hey, Wilder's going to win. But Fury beat him. I didn't watch it the night it came out because it cost too much money. I'm a cheapskate, amen. But I did watch the fight the other day for free, hallelujah. And Fury beat him. And people came to me and told me after the fight, the night that it happened, they said, hey, you know, Fury won. I said, oh, man, can't wait till I can see it free so I can see what happened, you know. But they didn't tell me this. After Tyson Fury won the fight, they stuck the mic in his face, you know, with the belt around his shoulder or whatever, the heavyweight championship belt and all this. And the first thing he said was this, and I quote, first and foremost, I want to say thank you to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All praise, he went on to say, be to the one and only true God, Jesus Christ, close quote. Wow! Heavyweight boxing championship of the world. And the first thing he does is give glory to Christ. God is sovereign to use whomever he pleases and to move wherever he pleases. Amen. I don't know about you, but that gives me hope today. Hope in the fact that who you are, who you think you are, or where you might be right now during this COVID-19 pandemic is not a deterrent to God's love and God's power moving in you. God is not limited by the inadequacy of the vessel or the place the vessel has been put. God is sovereign. In verses 9 to 13, as we continue on, the Bible says, there was a certain man named Simon who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. That's what they said about Simon. And they heeded him because he had astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. But when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself also believed. Simon the sorcerer also believed. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed seeing the miracles and signs which were done. Now, he's one of these signs and wonders guys, you know. He's caught up in the signs and wonders and all. Simon turned from sorcery to the Savior. Amen. He was a sorcerer. What is a sorcerer? A person that practiced the arts and all of the occult practices and fortune-telling, witchcraft, interaction with evil spirits, and speaking to the dead. The Bible says that the children of Israel, God actually, through the law of Moses, forbade the children of Israel to participate in sorcery. It was forbidden. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 10 and 11 tells us that. And so this was a sin, what Simon was doing, and he repented of his sin and he turned to Christ. In verse 14, the Bible says, then when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen, he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, the obvious question is, why was the empowerment of the Holy Spirit delayed or withheld?
This has been The Dwelling Place, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Al Pittman, senior pastor at Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado. If you enjoy Pastor Al's teaching ministry, we have some good news for you. You can listen, watch, or download an archive of past messages with a simple mouse click at cwccs.org. Just click the Messages tab at the top of the page. And while you're checking out our website, be sure to download the Calvary Worship Center app for your device and take Pastor Al wherever you go. The Dwelling Place is also available at oneplace.com, and you can find One Place on the internet and with a search on your Alexa or Google Play-enabled device. Have you considered becoming a financial supporter of The Dwelling Place? We count on your support to keep this radio ministry going and growing. You can support this program with a one-time gift or become a monthly supporter. If you'd like to join our support team, you can do so at our website, cwccs.org, or by texting the word GIVE to 719-354-2778. If you live in the Colorado Springs area and are looking for a church home, or you'll be visiting the area in the future, we invite you to come join us for worship here at Calvary Worship Center. You'll find a helpful video, directions, and the current schedule we have for limited access live services at cwccs.org. And no matter where you are, you can watch our services via live streaming right there at our website. Now, here's a special message from Pastor Al.
Hello, this is Pastor Al Pittman with Calvary Worship Center. The COVID-19 pandemic has rocked the lives of people across the nation and the world. COVID-19 may destroy the body, but sin can destroy the soul. The Bible says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Have you received God's gift of forgiveness through faith in Christ? There is no need to wait for the vaccine that God offers for our forgiveness. Simply by repeating this prayer after me, you can receive His forgiveness. Simply say, Lord Jesus, I confess that I'm a sinner. I ask you to come into my life and to change me. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, let us know. Go to cwccs.org/Jesus, and we will send you free information to help you in your new life in Christ. God bless.
Have a wonderful day in the Lord, and join us next time for another study with Pastor Al Pittman, presented by Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado.